This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Kathy Pedrotti-Hayes is an expert in CSR and philanthropic giving, and her co-host, Vicki Bolson, is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company that was also the first B Corp certified company in Indiana. Kathy and Vicki became friends and equally passionate about CSR when they first worked together several years ago. Join them as they talk about why it is always worthwhile to take care in business.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Vicki, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm having a hard time putting something aside to do this podcast call this morning. I'm super, super excited because my house and Bolson Group are going to go carbon neutral.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. There's a, you know, we've done some episodes where we've talked to different people about it, you know, kind of loosely.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to sometime in the future having Daniel Pointer from Carbon Neutral Indiana on the podcast. He is like this incredibly smart guy who took a couple of years and just really learned about the carbon footprint and how to go neutral, and which, by the way, is something that would take a couple of years to figure out. I mean, it is so interesting, but very complicated. And he started a company in Indiana called Carbon Neutral Indiana. And so he is on a fast path to try to spread the word to businesses and homes in Indiana so that they can learn about how to become carbon neutral. And so he's taken me through the whole exercise and my team. And it's really, you would think that it's this big undertaking that's going to be super crazy expensive, but it ends up that just like my household is probably a monthly Netflix subscription. That's about how much it costs.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's
I know. Yeah, yeah. So sometime I'll have to have him in the future, but he gave me this big spreadsheet with all, you know, like each person from the team, like what their carbon offset is and how to calculate it. And it's so interesting, but he's going to be lobbying in our state to try to get support from the Office of Sustainability and all kinds of exciting things. But I mean, how cool is it that somebody in the middle of the country, because usually these kinds of innovative things are taking place on the coast. And,
right,
you know, here we are in the middle of the country, you know, maybe going to be a step ahead of the, you know, some of the other more progressive states. So super, super excited about it. But I just wanted to share that, that, you know, this exists in Indiana now, as well as, I don't know, maybe half the other states in the country. Although you can do it anywhere. You can do it anywhere.
Right.
You just, you know, we just happen to have someone here locally that can coordinate it. So super fun, huh?
Yeah, that is fun. That's really fun. I'll have to check it out.
Well, I'm really excited about our guest today, Vicki. You know, these have been hard times, right? So we thought maybe today we'd be together in the studio, and yet again we are on the phone with our wonderful team, but we're not able to be together for, you know, due to COVID. And it seems like this is really going on for a lot longer than we anticipated. And you know, it's been a really tough time. I mean, certainly COVID's been really tough, but also the inequities that are going on in our lives and racial inequities, racial tension. It's just, it's awful. And it's an issue that I think that we all struggle with and that has been brought most rightly to the forefront. And so it's something that I've been reading a lot about and trying to be more knowledgeable and really evaluate myself. And one of the things I think that's the phrases that I always like is from Mr. Rogers, look for the helpers, right? And I'm really pleased because the guest that we have on today is a helper in this area. This is Tamara Cypress is with us today, and she's a CSR consultant for Black Onyx Management Consulting, and they are truly helpers. They're a management consultancy that specializes in diversity, equity, and inclusion. And some of the things that they offer, which she's going to talk a little bit about today, welcomeness studies, economic equity studies, supplier diversity analysis, XBE capacity analysis, XBE program development, implicit bias training, and stratification research. So these are folks that can really help organizations, individuals, and businesses as they look at promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion within their workplace. And Tamara is really a very interesting person. She's a marketing communication strategist with 17 years of experience in five diverse industries, leading corporate change innovation, employee messaging and engagement, and integrated marketing and communication campaigns. She spent the past 10 years serving on boards of directors and committees, including the former communications chair for their Super Bowl host committee. And working in that way, she's created and pitching stories to the media. She's also served as a former board member at the MLK Community Center and Madam Walker Legacy Center. And here's a cool thing, too. She's the creator and host of a weekly podcast, The 317 Experience, and co-host of the First Generation Wealth Builder Storytelling Series. So we're really pleased to welcome her today, and I can't wait for her to share all this information with our listeners. So good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Well, Tamara, as excited as I am about going carbon neutral, I'm as excited to talk to you today. And I signed up for your AccomplishShip webinar that is sometime this week, I think September 2nd. So really excited about that, to learn more about that program.
Thank you. No, that's going to be a fantastic time. We have done two of those sessions so far. So what she's talking about is why I should be an accomplice. It is a mini workshop, and then it's an opportunity to learn more about the two programs that I created for Black Onyx Management and for the community.
That's great. And that is actually one of my questions for you this morning. First off, can you tell us a little bit about Black Businesses Matter?
Absolutely, and thanks for asking. So Black Businesses Matter is a free storytelling and networking program. We have really been following the data that suggests about 41% of Black businesses have been permanently impacted or closed since COVID. And we wanted to just lead from where we are and do one small part in helping these businesses. So where we feel like where we can lead is really in that storytelling and networking space. There's lots of work that can be done. And one thing that I really like to share is Black Businesses Matter beyond COVID. It should be something that we're focused on with intention and purpose beyond COVID, beyond the pandemics that we're feeling, and beyond, and thinking through how we can support Black businesses beyond just, hey, it's August, it's Black Business Month, or hey, it's February, it's Black History Month. If we can be very intentional, these types of programs probably won't be needed. But what we wanted to do is stay positive, and we wanted to focus on those smaller Black businesses that may or may not be overlooked, and they may even just be getting started.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's great. And so I am a small business owner. I am not a person of color. How can I participate in Black Businesses Matter?
So one, I would say, check us out. If you, and I always like to pause with our logo. So if you look at it, it's bright, it's bold, it incorporates the love or unity fist and also a heart. And by design, we wanted to make sure that people know that their heart has to be front and center of this campaign for us to see the equitable experiences and outcomes that we're seeking. So yes, it's a logo, but we also wanted it to be more of a representation of who we represent and also what we want you to do. And that logo leads right into the campaign. So what's included in Black Businesses Matter is this digital logo. And for those that have social media, website, and email, they can automatically add it to their platforms as a self-identifier as a Black business. For those that have brick and mortar, we have a window cling so that they can easily add that to their front business window. But also the heart of this campaign is the storytelling series, and it includes two key pieces, the visual profile in partnership with the Indianapolis Recorder, And also they get to host an episode of the 317 Experience, which is the podcast that you shared that I host. So those are just two marketing ways, things that are near and dear to my heart, using my marketing and communications background to help support and promote Black businesses. But another thing that we're doing is we're listening to them. And what we're finding out is 58% of them need help with social media. 43% of them need help with their website. 42% of them are not registered with the city or state, which is important because those that want to have business with contracts or go for these RFPs, they're not on anyone's database and they're missing a lot of opportunity. So we're taking this opportunity to support the other gaps in their business beyond marketing. So these are fun ways that we're trying to dig in deep and really help. And that pivots into like where you could help. So number one, support Black businesses. So they're not looking for handouts. I've had 80 conversations. So we've had 80 businesses sign up since July 1. And they're looking for customers, like any business. So something that you can think of is when you're looking for something to eat or you're looking for a consultant or you're looking for a doctor or a lawyer, financial services, like we have businesses across the gamut. Consider supporting a Black business instead of maybe one of your go-to places. And this requires patience. So in addition to supporting Black businesses, you're going to have to think of how can I be a little more patient with some of these smaller Black businesses. It doesn't mean that they don't have great customer service and they're not going to demand excellence of themselves. But if you can think of a small Black business that probably didn't have the same coaching and mentoring and money and resources, and they hold every single hat, that's what they're going through. And if you're like, oh, well, I know a bunch of other small businesses that are going through those same issues, then I would say then put on a little bit of empathy. It's not easy to have a small Black business. It's not easy being part of the 40% of businesses that close in the first year. So that's what I would say is small steps of getting to kind of open your mind, learning who some of these businesses are. That's why that storytelling series is so important. We do more than just telling you the products and services that they have. We're really, really trying to personalize who they are. Some of them have more than one employee, but some of them are like 1 to 7, which is a really small team that they're trying to support not only their jobs, but their families as well. So those are just a few small things of supporting small businesses, small Black businesses, have patience and have empathy and get to know them. And you'll find that this marketing campaign will really turn into consumerism, hopefully, throughout the years.
Sure.
This is a real practical question, but say, Sunday night, we're going to order out instead of cook again. And say I want to find a Black-owned restaurant that will, deliver or allow me to DoorDash. Do you have a listing of these businesses somewhere so we can be very intentional about incorporating consumerism to Black businesses, Black-owned businesses?
Excellent question. So Black Businesses Matter is not really focused on that directory piece. Luckily, there's several great resources out there that we like to collaborate with that are focused on that. And I'd like to share three of them with you. So obviously, there's the Indy Black Chamber. Their number one goal is to help grow Black businesses. So I would encourage you to go to Indy Black Chamber's website. They have over 275 businesses that they work with. And they coach, and they have several great programs that they do. So Indy Black Chamber is one resource. Two other resources that have come up this summer is IBO, or also Indy Black Owned. They created a directory as a one-stop shop for all Black businesses. So that's a free resource to Black businesses to upload their information, and they have great traction of putting hundreds of businesses over the last 2 months on their resource. So IBO or Indy Black Owned is another one. Another similar website that's also doing that is Shop Black Indy, and they are very similar using their great resources to make a directory and website of a one-stop shop for all Black businesses. So yes, it is challenging to find Black businesses just for the mere reason that marketing is not their number one go-to resource. Like when you think about, okay, do I want to create a great product? Do I want to ship it? Do I want to wear my CEO hat? Or I got to get my finances together. Oh my gosh, now I got to get certified with the city. Social media and websites just doesn't bubble to the top of their priority list. So that's probably why it's challenging to just go on Yelp. Although I know Yelp has added a Black business piece to their website recently. So there's lots of resources that you can do. And if you want to be an ally, or I challenge people to be an accomplice, truly do your research. But those are some places that you can go to equip yourself.
That's great.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, good collaborative effort. Lots of resources. Well, that's a good segue into accompliceship, which I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit more about this initiative.
Absolutely. So probably, I don't know, time is such a funny thing right now. About 8 or 10 weeks ago, you probably made a statement that you would stand in solidarity with the Black community. And what we're finding is ever since some of these incidents have come to light, they're not new, but more so to light this 2020, people are finding ways to speak up about social unrest and the injustices that are going on. But we really wanted to hold companies accountable for doing more. And part of Black Onyx as a diversity and inclusion and social responsibility consultancy is we really want to put actions out there. We want to hold businesses accountable for putting really affecting change in this space. And we really want to pivot from what we're calling allies make statements, accomplices take action. And if you could kind of think through, allies are not bad. They are actually really refreshing to see over the last few months. Marshawn and I talk about that and say, hey, when you see someone putting hashtags out or saying Black Lives Matter for the first time in their lives. These are all positive things. But really, if you want to look at root causes and dig in and make changes that we really need, we need more accomplices. And what we're asking people to do is to pivot from really making these performative statements and really moving to the actions that make changes. So we created this program called Indie Accompliceship, and it is focused on four key areas: the workplace, the workforce, the marketplace, and the community. And what we've found is corporations do bits and pieces of these things. Like some folks will start working on the workforce and start expanding where they're doing their interviews. Some places might work with the workplace. So they're like, they've created their first BRG, Business Resource Group, or ERG, Employee Resource Group, or some call it affinity groups. Some have poured cash into one or two entities. And then some might be looking at supplier diversity programs. What we haven't found is organizations that are really buckled in and taking ownership and accountability for all four spaces. And Indie Accompliceship is a roadmap that is really going to walk corporations through all four of those areas. And just to crystallize what I mean by that, the way we're defining workplaces, we're ensuring that there's a healthy environment for your existing employees, which means we're going to be measuring implicit bias training, not only for your C-suite and minorities, but for your entire organization. And then what are the actions that you do afterwards? What's the percentage of Black people employed and maybe serving on your leadership role? And what's that Black and white pay gap for similar positions? Those are ways that we're defining the workplace, and we really want corporations to dig in those definitions. If you think about the workforce, we're thinking about What's that applicant pool? How are you retaining diverse talent? And we know that 2020 is a funny year. Even if you don't hire another person in 2020, what are those policies and procedures that are existing in your corporation? Have you updated those policies with your hiring managers? Is there a good culture that says, yes, we believe in bringing in more diverse talent? Or have you just left your policies up to your recruiters and not really put intentionality behind that? So we'll also be looking at the hires that you may have in that could look like director level or higher, those leadership roles. What are the people serving on corporate boards? That's what we're doing to define the workforce. When we leave the people side and have to follow the money, for the marketplace, we're looking at supplier diversity and marketing dollars. We're going to be measuring the percentage in dollars spent with Black prime vendors and subcontractors. And what's the money you're spending with your marketing team? And the key piece here is this is not a diversity and inclusion program. It is a corporate responsibility to look into their diversity and inclusion. It is a corporate responsibility to look into your supplier diversity or supply chain. It is a corporate responsibility to look at your HR. So our goal is to break down silos, and you'll have to bring all of those functions and areas in your business together to really make change. And then finally, the community, that fourth pillar. This is where we see a lot of action, but we want to define being a good corporate citizen through leadership, money, and time, which means we'll be looking at the non-people of color serving as advisors. So what that means is, although we will be looking at Black people serving on boards, there's value in having white people serve as advisors to Black organizations. If there's a CFO or an accountant or a chief of marketing, at a Fortune 500 company or any organization that could look back and go to the CFO, accountant, or marketing person of a Black organization and help them do better in those Black organizations, there's power there. They can write checks, move mountains, and open doors that we just can't do for ourselves. So we want to look at that as part of being part of the community. We'll also be looking at the money and the hours spent volunteering with Black organizations. And we'll also be looking at the number of Black-led initiatives supported, which means when Black people raise their hands or have an agenda, that these corporations, if they have lobbyists or if they have opportunity to be leaders in this space, we want them to go to the boardrooms, go to the State House, and support Black organizations with these Black-led initiatives. So in a nutshell, Indie Accompliship is really comprehensive, looking at these four places. We're not going to let anyone fall through a hole. We will be holding companies to a level of excellence, but we also understand that this could be a new journey for people. So we really want to meet you where you're at, but also let you lead from where you are. So this will be a positive campaign that we really just want to get started and not have the same conversation next year that we're having right now.
Sure. And how has it been received? Have you seen trends in terms of like businesses that are, you know, more interested in this or more but having greater levels of participation? Bigger companies, smaller companies, is there any kind of trend that you can take away from what's occurred so far?
Great question. So in terms of trends, so we just got started. So to be very transparent, we kicked this off in the middle of July. So we started Black Businesses Matter July 1, and then we wanted to get that started. And then we started socializing Indie Accompliship. We officially start in October, so we haven't started yet. But the many, many, many conversations we've had over these last 60 days has been really positive. The only fear that we've had with smaller organizations is like this is their first step and it's a lot to chew. And that's okay. If you kind of follow the Deloitte maturity curve for diversity and inclusion, we kind of have the stages and it's not linear. Like you just don't go straight from we did nothing to now we're perfect. So that's not what the goal of this program is either. We want to get started. So those smaller organizations that are like, oh, wow, this is really the first that we're dipping our toe in the D&I or corporate social responsibility space, is this for us? We say absolutely yes. What a key piece about this pledge and this program is that, yes, we do have key measurements that we're looking at, but we also are holding you to kind of look at how you measure success. So if there's other ways that you define success in these four pillars, we absolutely want you to step up and share with us that these are the things that you want to accomplish. And we're not looking for people to be perfect with all those little nuggets that I shared. What we're considering success and how you can be an accomplice is that you're doing something in each of these areas. So those smaller companies, that's what we're hearing. From a larger perspective, the only question that we got is when they wear their global hat, it's hard for them to narrow it down on for Indianapolis. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. The smaller Indianapolis-based companies want us to only focus on Indianapolis. The companies that are global and like, well, we got other markets and we have to think bigger, and what we do for Indianapolis, we kind of have to do for the entire organization. That has been the only challenge that we've heard. From a positive standpoint, we've heard over and over, this is exactly what companies need to be working on. It's what they think they've been trying to do, but not been able to articulate all four of these areas with KPIs and kind of a roadmap to help them map out how they can start working on doing each of these pieces better for their Black community and their diverse populations as well. So this has been really fun to have these conversations, hear where companies are coming from. I've been in corporate America for 17 years. I've seen where these pieces don't exist. I see where things get started. I see where they get stopped in middle management. So companies of all sizes, all industries should be focused on this. And even those companies that you're looking at and say, oh, I know they're doing so great in all of these areas, I would actually challenge and see where their measurements are. And it's not to take away from any of the good that they've done, but there's just so much more that we can do.
And you're trying to get, I think I'm correct in saying this, you're trying to get 100 accomplices to sign up, correct?
Yes, thank you. So yes, our ultimate goal for this, we're calling like these cohorts, this first year, we would like 100 companies. And why that's important, if we get 10 to 20, which we have 10 right now, so we actually need 90 more. that's okay. It's kind of like the difference between ally and accomplice. Allies are good. Accomplices are better. If we have 100 corporations in Indianapolis focused on their own workplace, their own workforce, their own marketplace, and their own community, what a powerful force. If we could really hold these companies accountable, even if they do one thing better and don't meet the full standards, like they're doing better than what they would if they said, oh yeah, we'll just cut a check to this group and we'll start a couple of conversations. And I don't want this to come out negative, but we got to go beyond book clubs. We got to go beyond just starting the conversations. And if that's where your company is, awesome. Let's get you started. But how can we also open our minds and kind of change the mindset that we can do more?
Tamara, one of the questions that we almost always ask our guests is, what if you could give advice to a company, and maybe that's it, maybe you just gave it, but I'm going to ask it anyway, to a company who was trying to grow their social responsibility, in particular with diversity, equity, and inclusion, what advice would you give to them?
I would say find out what you're really trying to achieve. A lot of companies are probably in this D&I space. They're like, oh, we just got, what do we do? In that moment of kind of figuring things out, it's okay to put some pen to paper, and it's also okay to have some conversations. I would find some champions in your organization that can help you crystallize some of the goals that you have. And it doesn't have to be something overwhelming or over-engineered, but you should be thoughtful. I would say the number one thing that you could do is make this a business plan. I feel like a broken record, but I truly feel like diversity and inclusion is a corporate responsibility. It should be part of your business plan. You don't have your HR folks out there hiring folks without talking to the business. You don't have marketing folks just doing things without their sales team. You don't have other functions without talking to the business. So I would say put the same amount of energy, effort, money, and time into your diversity and inclusion, into your social responsibility. Have those key conversations. Talk to your key stakeholders. And really kind of map out who you're trying to be and start small and then continue to get other people to help you grow.
Yeah, great, great advice. And such great information for, you know, just a real comprehensive look at how to really approach Black Lives Matter as a business owner, you know. Great tools. Congratulations on creating two really awesome programs that will help propel the Black community, you know, here in Indianapolis and globally.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. And I hope that if you take nothing else from this conversation, that you just at least look at yourself and figure out what you could do. If it's overwhelming to kind of do research and you don't have the power right now to sign up your company, I would say just start with yourself in your own home. That's something that you absolutely could control, and we could be kind to each other. We could give each other grace. And from there, we can only do better.
Tamara, can you give our listeners some more information about how they could get either information about you and or Black Onyx Management?
Absolutely. So Black Onyx Management, I believe it's that simple, blackonyxmanagement.com. You can find out more about all the services that we provide. If you're interested specifically with Black Businesses Matter or the Indy Accompliship Corporate Pledge, please go to indyaccompliship.com. And that's accomplice as in accomplicesship. So accompliceship. We have a lot of information on there of why we're doing what we're doing, the key metrics. And then there's two, I'm not quite sure when this is going to air, but we have two workshops coming up September 2nd and September 3rd. And don't worry if you miss those. We will continue to do these free workshops and informational sessions on why you should be an accomplice and to learn more about these programs.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Tamara.
Thank you.
Let's give a big thank you to our sound engineer, Matt Sosi.
Woo-hoo!
And our Taking Care and Community sponsor, National Bank of Indianapolis. If you'd like to nominate someone or an organization for a future episode, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com.
Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get our podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review or share this episode on your social media. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, take care in business.